Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, Deuce is in the house? Where are you, Deuce? I don't see you. Nope, just me. Welcome back to our final half hour here on Sports Talk on WWL.
He'd be hard to miss, wouldn't he?
He would be hard to miss. You're right, big dude. I'd love to have Deuce with me. No, don't get me wrong, but currently he's not here. Having some fun on this Friday night. Got a little serious, obviously, the first 2 hours with Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, being charged in a prostitution sting. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. You guys know, if you've listened to me here recently in the last 9-10 months, you know, I've really taken an interest to the LHSAA and their operations and how they go about conducting their business. And it really was brought to light during the Andrew Robinson ineligibility ruling from Hanville High School. And I said it then, you know, that the LHSAA has been doing stuff like this for years, and I guess that kind of woke some people up about it. Certainly woke me up. It wasn't the first time that a player of his caliber or a player in general has been ruled ineligible, and nobody made a fuss about it. And it ended up getting overturned through arbitration. Andrew Robinson ended up playing the last three games for Hanville in his senior season. But it really kind of got me interested into the inner workings of the LHSAA. And by the way, we did reach out to the executive director, Eddie Bonine, to come on the show today. I've reached out to him several times personally through email and texts over the last 9 months, 8 months. And all of which have been either not responded to or politely declining to. I've asked the LHSAA to provide a few things of clarity about where the money goes when they fine schools. They've ignored those. They've taken me off their e-blast chain when they announce sanctions on schools, trying to write it up as a clerical error, that they rebooted this system, and it just so happened that I was left off of that. Coincidentally, my father, who used to cover prep sports on Friday nights on WWL, also was conveniently now taken off that e-blast. But I'm trying to be fair here as I look at the LHSA. I'm fascinated by what I think is an organization that is very, very heavy-handed and picks and chooses their spots and when they're going to punish a school, how much they're going to punish a school. So I started going back and researching other cases, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just a few of them. But last summer, July 11th, the LHSAA, they hit McKinley High School with a massive fine and a postseason ban. They fined McKinley last year $42,000. I'll get to that in a moment, though. Recently, Carver High School was hit with a $9,000 fine for being in violation of multiple rules and eligibility players, et cetera, or players that were ineligible. I reached out to Carver High School today, left a message, went on and returned, trying to speak to their principal. So McKinley, a Class 5A school, fined $41,968.14 for eligibility rules, compliance violations in all sports. None of the violations involved illegal recruiting or other LHSA hot-button issues. And it goes on, they detailed it. And look, McKinley High School was clearly in violation, not having over 150 violations, basically not having the birth certificates and other documents required by the LHSA. I'm fine with that. If you want to find a school, if they're in violation that poorly, that badly, for not having simple documents like birth certificates, etc. But I look at the number and I go, man, $41,000, nearly $42,000 for fines. That's an awful lot. There must be some very, very big violations. And then you look at Carver High School, who is repeatedly in violation as well, fined $9,000. Now, it is, just to educate you, it is based on whether you are a Class 5A, 4A, 3A, so on and so forth. That is basically the barometer as to how much they can fine you or how much they fine you. But there's no cap on it necessarily in a 5A situation, as I understand it. Maybe there is, and I'm reading it wrong. But regardless of how much a school can be fined, obviously you can understand why a 5A school would probably face a heftier fine than a 1A school, or class, you know, Class A, Class B, Class C, because the 5A schools are bigger. They've got more money, so they could probably handle a heftier fine based on a violation. And again, I'm not attacking the LHSAA for fining McKinley High School and issuing a postseason ban. I'm simply trying to get the answer to this question. Where does that fine money go? Does it go to a separate coffer? Does it go to a charity? Does it go back into the LHSAA funds? Because if it does go back into the LHSAA funds, then I have a problem. And the problem is simple. There is now motivation and incentive to fine schools. Oh, if it goes back to the LHSAA, that's not a good look. Because now when you go audit somebody, when you go audit a school, they're going to be motivated to find the slightest of violations in order to fine the school. Hanville High School was fined $5,000. Brother Martin fined $1,000 in an incident last year as well. So I understand that the multiple violations are going to carry a heftier fine, but where do the fines go? Where does that money go? I've asked the LHSAA that several times. An email, I've asked it on this show, invited them to come on. No answers from them. None. They did not even answer the very question I just asked. I sent an email to the LHSAA asking, where does the fine money go? Nothing. No response. Why wouldn't you respond to something like that? That's a simple, hey, Christian, it goes here into this account, and this is what's done with the money. Well, if it's going back into your account, you wouldn't want people to know that. You're probably not going to respond. That's just my conclusion. That's just me having a little bit of common sense, thinking that that's the way it's going until I'm told otherwise by the LHSAA. If I'm told otherwise that it's going into a separate account or to charity or going towards, I don't know, name it. As long as it's not going back into the funds of the LHSAA. Because again, there's motivation to, oh, let me see. Let me comb through. Let me find the slightest violation. Fine. Oh, there's another small violation. Fine. And some of you might be saying, well, Christian, why are you so passionate? Why do you care about this? Why should I care about this? Well, it's simple. Your kid, your grandkid, your niece or your nephew or whomever is going to be potentially governed by this body, the LHSAA, who Eddie Bonine once said is a dumpster fire in an email to the National Federation of High School Athletic Associations. He called his own organization a dumpster fire. Not my words, his. So there should be concern if you have a kid, a niece, a nephew, a grandkid, a brother, a sister that's playing sports in this state, whether it's in junior high or high school, that is going to be governed by this body. I'm concerned about it. I have a 12-year-old who's got some athletic ability that might play high school sports. And who knows? I don't know. Right now he's scheduled to go to Hanville High School. Could end up deciding maybe we want to send him to Brother Martin. What if it's after his freshman year? Would he be eligible? Would he not? There's just a lot of questions. Where does that money go is the number one question we all should be asking about the LHSAA. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Rick and Cummington. I see you sit tight. You want to talk about the LHSAA. Got a text here at 870-870. Do you practice being ignorant, as in LHSAA Coach Matt? I don't know what you're saying there. A mediocre sports writer or sports journalist such as yourself, keep your mouth shut. Hey, Christian, I will tell you, asking where the money goes. Oh, then it says, all right, yeah. I can't even make it out, really. Let's see. It says, asking where the money goes in the general fund to run the LHSA, you're an idiot. Well, here's what I would contend to you there, 7631. You're a part of the problem. You work for the LHSA or you're a proponent of the LHSA. That's the only thing I can that's the only defense I can offer you. They don't have too many allies, by the way, 76-31. Eddie Bonine, back in September, the executive director of the LHSAA, came on Sports Talk. This was the height of the Andrew Robinson stuff. And graciously gave us 23 minutes of airtime. Answered a lot of questions. Actually opened a lot of eyes about the Andrew Robinson case. But he departed that interview saying this.
Just bring me back at another time and we'll talk about some other stuff if you want to.
I want to, Eddie. Call me, Eddie. Return my emails, Eddie. You said that you'll be glad to come on with us another time. We want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I'll give you plenty of time. I lost count, but I would say at least since September, at least 5 requests have been sent by me or our producer, Steve Geller, to invite Eddie Bonine on the show. Only one has been answered, and that was declined. I've sent at least 10 emails asking for explanation and clarity on bylaws and rules, et cetera, and the inner workings and the procedures of the LHSAA. Haven't gotten one return email explaining what I was asking, answering any questions. They're a private organization and they hide behind that. But this is your tax dollars that's helping to fund this, to fund that organization. You, me, we have every right to know where every dime in that organization is going. We don't know. Rick in Covington, what's going on, Rick? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, can you hear me?
Sure can.
All right, hey. Listen, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a recently retired. I was an athletic director for 3 years at a 5A North Shore school. I've coached for about 25 years, athletic director. And I heard your topic, and I just wanted to say to you that my experience with the LHSAA has not been what you're talking about.
How long ago was this, Rick?
Robinson thing.
How long ago was this, Rick?
I retired September 21st.
Okay.
So, honestly, I was meticulous with what I did.
Sure.
It's real easy to get caught in the trick bags with the rules the way they are.
Yes, they are.
I'll tell you, there's 5 athletic directors that I talk to all the time, and each of us on would look at a rule and talk about it. And we might come up with 5 different interpretations on the rule.
Yep.
They really need to be cleaned up.
Yep.
But the people that I work with at the LHSA, and I'm not going to mention any names, so I don't want to get anybody into trouble. They were very helpful. They one person was gone.
Ricky,
she sat down with me. Yeah, are you with me still?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
She sat down with me when I was a new AD and walked me through the process. It's easy to make a mistake. You know, it's easy to, the person who came in and audited our files, he worked with me. He made sure that I knew what I was doing and I was doing the right things. And, it wasn't like he just fined us at the drop of a hat. And I wanted to say that.
Rick, let me be clear. I'm not saying they are currently doing that. What I'm saying though, is that I want to know where the money goes from the fines, because if there's not a clear place that it goes, and if you know, please tell me, but if there's not a clear place that it goes, then therefore I draw the conclusion that there is an incentive, a motivation to fine schools.
Well, I'll say
Do you know where it goes, Rick? Do you know where that money goes?
I really can't. No, I don't.
Okay.
I can't speak to that, my friend.
Rick, and I'm not trying to cut you off. I've got literally 60 seconds. I got to hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network for LSU baseball. So I enjoyed our conversation. Thank you. And look, call me again. We'll go a little bit more expansive on this as well. Mark Menard at Master Control. Thank you a bunch for your help. Stephen Geller helping us behind the scenes as well. Our executive producer and program director, Diane Newman. Big thanks to her as well. Semper Fi, I'm out. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Go catch some beads. Do it safely, though. Be careful. This is Sports Talk. Join me Sunday for It's Just Sports at 10 a.m. right here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.